It's a beautiful song. Romans chapter 14 is where we're going to take our text this morning. Romans 14, two verses, 5 and 6. We'll refer a little bit to the church at Rome, and then in verse 1 or so in this chapter, but particularly verses 5 and 6. And bring you a message this morning on Christmas joy, entitled Christmas Joy. Romans 14, 5 and 6. Let's stand together, please. The choir sang the song 10,000 Joys, and obviously that's what the birth of Christ brought into this world. And the truth of the matter is far more than 10,000. Amen. Verses 5 and 6 is our text. I'll read verse 5. Please join me on verse 6, Romans 14. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Let's pray together in the special before the message. Dear God, open our hearts to your word this morning. And I ask you to do that through the power of your Spirit. I also realize, Lord, that if your Spirit's going to have access to our hearts, we must do our part in our spirit to be ready to receive your book. I think about those folks over in Berea who were very noble, you said, in Acts chapter 17, because they received the word with all readiness of mind. May we be ready, Lord, for the message to follow. I pray that we would have the wherewithal to put out of our thoughts for a few moments the cares of today, the pressing issues in our lives, and realize, God, that your word being preached is the ultimate for this moment. And may our hearts and spirits be open to receive it. May it do us some good. Bless this song, these ladies, and the message to follow, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, BC.
Still came.
Thank you, ladies. Beautiful song today. And appropriate for this season for sure. Christmas joy. That's what I want to speak to you about today. Christmas joy. Can you hear me in the back? We've had a little confusion with the sound system this morning. If that sounds good up here now, Brother Payne. And you're okay hearing back there, all right? Very good. Thank you. Let's pray and get into the message today. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus came. And my goodness, with all the world is trying to do to cause us to forget that, I pray that we'd be so determined in our hearts not to let loose of this. It's a part of our culture. Christmas is about Jesus. May we never turn loose of that. Help us to honor the Lord. Help us to enjoy Christmas joy this season. And use your book to speak to us today, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and amen. The Church of Baptized Believers at Rome was quite a diverse church. Now, I want you to understand that I am not talking about the Catholic Church. When you hear about the church at Rome in our day and age, immediately you think about the Catholic Church. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen very carefully. The Catholic Church was not even in existence when Paul wrote to this group of believers. This church was already going a couple hundred years before the Catholic Church ever came into existence. Peter was not its first pope. Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. You've heard it said so many times. Any man that would have a mother-in-law without a wife is a basket case. Amen? We're not talking about the Catholic Church here, okay? This was a group of people who had put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They had been baptized under the water, not sprinkled, but they were putting folks under the water hundreds of years before they put water sprinkling on top of them. Okay? So these are folks, and they were members of a local assembly. They did not celebrate the Mass. Did not do that. They didn't say prayers for the dead. Now, they might have burned candles, but they didn't have Ben Franklin and electricity and lightning and kites and all that stuff yet. But they didn't say prayers for the dead. They didn't believe that the body and the bread and juice at the Lord's table become the body and blood of Christ when they put it in their mouth. They didn't have prayer beads. They didn't pray Hail Marys. Not at all. We're talking about the church at Rome. This was years before all those creations of man were made part of organized religion. This was an assembly of born-again, baptized believers, and they were a diverse bunch of people. Some were Jews saved out of Judaism. They were practicing Jews. I'm talking about all the ceremonial law and so forth. Some of them were Jews who were not religious, and they'd been saved. Others of them were Gentiles saved out of idolatrous heathenism. They were a church much like this church. Much like this one. You see, we have in this church here a great cross-section. We've got a diverse membership here. In this church, we have people who were raised in church from the time that you were a toddler. In fact, you were taken to church when you were 8, 9, 10 days of age. And you grew up in a home where the Bible was a staple. It was the part of everything you did around the house. You grew up hearing the stories about Jesus. You've been reared in church. We have folks like that here this morning. We have other folks who were maybe Baptist background, but they had never been saved till later on in life. And they wandered from the faith and wandered from the things that they'd been taught. And they got saved and got into church. And then we have folks in this room who were reared with no Bible influence. Reared in a home with no Bible teaching. Mom and Dad weren't saved. Nobody in the family was saved. There was no gospel influence whatsoever. And those folks, some of them got saved out of a wicked lifestyle. And we're all here in church together this morning. We got quite a diverse church. Amen. This was true about this church. It's true about our church. Now, they had good fellowship in this church until it began to suffer because they had some believers that made incidental matters dogmatic. That's what happened here in the church at Rome. You got a situation where the unity of this church suffered because of matters that were not doctrinal. They were incidental. They started fussing over meat. Should we eat meat? Should we not eat meat? Should we eat meat that's been offered to idols? Should we not eat meat that's been offered to idols? Should we be on a vegetarian type diet and avoid meat altogether? And I just say yes to all of it. Amen. We should eat. Amen. No matter. Amen. We should. That's what they were fussing over. They began to fuss over the observation of special days, holy days, feast days. And others avoided all these days altogether. You see, some of them looked at keeping those days as a link to their Jewish heritage. Others said, well, we're not Jews anyway, so what does it matter? We don't care if we keep these days or not. Now, look, folks, the Bible does not command that we all agree on those incidental issues. The last thing you want is someone, watch it now, who attempts to take a dogmatic approach to incidentals, like they were in this church. When you take a dogmatic approach to incidentals, now let me give you a word of caution here. There's nothing in this chapter about alcohol. There's nothing in this chapter about immodest apparel or other matters of a separated, sacrificial, sanctified Christian life. Those matters are not discussed in this chapter at all because those aren't incidental matters. Those are doctrinal issues. Doctrinal issues. I'm talking about incidental matters here. Incidentals. Now look, people who become dogmatic about incidentals are called weak in the faith. They're immature. They haven't grown up yet enough to know and be able to distinguish what are matters of importance doctrinally and what are not matters of importance, otherwise incidental matters. They haven't grown up in their thinking. They are immature. We were talking last night. They didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. But in our talking last night as a family, I learned something that's a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. Abby's home, like those other college students, we were talking. I don't know how we even got on the subject, but we started talking about her and her cousin Christy. Creston, her and Christy have been very close over the years. You were born in May, and Christy was born in September, same year, just a few months apart. And they've been very close and still are. And occasionally, Christy would come stay at our house for a while. Occasionally, Abby would go stay out there for a few days. And one occasion, when Abby was out there visiting Christy, they'd been together for 3 or 4 days, all day. And like happens a lot of times, they ran out of things to do and say and talk about. So they began to pick at each other and fight. And they began to fight over a rubber band. Was that one that you put in your hair? A rubber band that you girls would put in your hair, make a ponytail or a pigtail or something like that. And Christy was just absolutely certain that Abby had stolen it from her bedroom and had put it in her hair. And Abby was absolutely certain that Christy had stolen it out of her suitcase and had put it in her hair. And they began to snip, and I don't know if they ever got to punching each other or anything like that or kicking, but they began to snip and to fight, and it ended up with somebody sitting on the windowsill and crying and tears and just a big thing because of a rubber band for your hair. And you know what? We laugh at that because that's what? That's normal for what? Children. That wasn't last week, folks. I'm talking about some years ago, okay? All right. they were together at Thanksgiving, I think. We have a Thanksgiving. They didn't get in any fights over rubber bands at Thanksgiving, all right? Thank God for that. That's immature. That's childish. Are you listening? People weak in the faith. People weak in the faith. They become dogmatic about incidentals. Now, by the way, people who are weak in the faith are supposed to be received into the church. Look at verse number 1. Look at verse number 1, chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Take him in. But look what it says. Not to doubtful dispensation. Arguments are supposed to be avoided. Forget those. I don't get into arguments with them and fuss. And boy, people come and they want to be dogmatic about something incidental. Should you wear pleated pants? Should you not wear pleated pants? Should you wear wire-rimmed glasses? Should you use this curriculum? Should you nurse or bottle feed? Dogmatic about all these matters that the Bible is not sound, not straight out on, flat out on. Look, you make a big issue over that type of thing, you're called weak in the faith. Weak in the faith. Immature. haven't learned to distinguish yet what is important doctrinally and what's an incidental matter. Now, I could give you more examples, but that's not my point this morning. Let me give you an issue that can be a bone of contention amongst Christian people. And it can't, it just can't be, it shouldn't be, but it is. And it's the it's what's going on right now. It's Christmas. Christmas. That can be a bone of contention. People fuss over celebrating Christmas. Should we celebrate Christmas? Should we not celebrate Christmas? Should we observe it? Should we not observe it? Now, I haven't heard anything from people here in this church, but there is in other places, and there might be someone here who, you know, personally doesn't want to decorate and put up greenery and have a tree and get presents and celebrate Christmas. And you know what? According to the Bible, that's your right. That's your choice. But for somebody who wants to regard the day, that's their choice as well. You see, that's an incidental. That's not a doctrinal matter where you get together and fuss and fight. If folks that do that, the Bible terms those folks weak in the faith. Weak in the faith. Now folks, look. Jesus Christ's birth was the most wonderful, blessed, and can I add this? Needed births in all history. Mankind had to have a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior and is that Savior. His birth was necessary. Can I tell you what a birth it was? It wasn't ordinary at all, friend. It was ordinary in the way Mary delivered Him, but all the surrounding circumstances and everything that went along with it, Joseph and Mary traveling 70 miles or so from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And when they get there, all the sleeping establishments are full and there's no room for them in the inn. And they end up in a stable. And Mary gives birth in a stable. And here it is, where animals would be. And then she takes the baby Jesus and lays Him in a manger, a crèche, if you will, with possibly straw, where they would the animals would feed. And here in that manger was the Christ child. The God-man in a manger. That's incredible. That's wonderful. I love the song. Our choir won't sing it this season, but we have in past seasons, called The Wonder of Wonders. I love the verses, The Wonder of Wonders, as she looked on His face. That this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created by Him. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled that He was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given Him birth. He was God incarnate come down to the earth. Wonderful, glorious birth. Amen. You have to agree about that. A wonderful birth. Should we celebrate Christmas? Well, look what Paul said in verses 5 and 6. Look at what he said in the Bible here. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Do you want to celebrate Christmas? Are you persuaded it's the right thing to do? Celebrate it. Are you of the persuasion that no, we should not celebrate Christmas? It's against what's, are you of that persuasion? Then don't celebrate it. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Look at what it says in verse 6. He that regardeth the day, he regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. I don't find any problem, somebody says, in celebrating Christmas and honoring the Lord. And somebody else says, it's easier for me not to honor the Lord by not celebrating Christmas. As long as you're doing it or not doing it to the Lord, you're fine. When you're not doing it to cause trouble and rub it in somebody's face, then that's a problem. And when you take the liberty to celebrate it and rub it in people's nose and think little of them, then that's a problem. That's how you avoid problems in a church. That's how you avoid the sweet spirit of unity flying out the back door. You try to grow people up in the faith to the point where they realize what is doctrinal and what is incidental. Do you feel like celebrating Christmas? Do you feel like it helps you honor the Lord? Then do it. If you feel like it hinders your honoring the Lord, then don't do it. In verse number 6, Paul used the word regardeth. Did you see that? He that regardeth. That word means set your mind on. Set your affection on. Put your thoughts on the Lord. Hey, if you're celebrating Christmas, if that's what you've chosen to do, your celebration better be about Jesus. That's what it better be about. It's all about Him. And if you're not celebrating Christmas, don't sit around with a scowl on your face. Use the time to celebrate the Lord. Whatever you do, just do it unto Jesus. It's not about the tree. It's not about the presents. It's not about Santa Claus and reindeer and food and decorations. If that's what we're enjoying, if that's what we're honoring, if that's the emphasis of our celebration, we're celebrating improperly. And I have all that. I have a tree, and we have gifts under the tree, and we have decorations inside the house and outside the house. That's just what I've chosen to do, and because the bulk of our church believes that's okay, that's why there's decorations in the auditorium, out here in the foyer. It's not about the wreath. It's not about the lights, the poinsettia. It's not about the tree. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's His birthday. It's time to celebrate. Time to celebrate. Honor the Lord. What a great time to honor the Lord at Christmas. I've heard the excuses. December 25th is not Christ's birthday. Well, that's probably true. They have cold climate over there in the winter. It probably didn't come. The shepherds don't go out in the field biting their flocks by night in December. Shepherds that have any brains don't do that anyway. It was probably in the spring of the year, maybe the fall of the year. And yet, because it's not December 25th, we better not celebrate because it's not December 25th. Well, what do you do about the poor folks born on February 29th? You celebrate their birthday once every 4 years? Now, that's okay when you get close to 50. Amen? That's better. But try that on a 5-year-old. We're not going to celebrate your birthday this year because, you know, you're born on February 29th. And when that rolls around again, when that very day comes, we'll celebrate your birthday. I don't think that's going to fly with your 5-year-old or your 6-year-old. I don't think that's wise. Do you? It probably wasn't on the 25th, folks. But hey, you know what? I'm glad somebody picked a day and said, this is the day we're going to celebrate Christ's birth. And I'm glad we have a day set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I've heard Christmas trees and decorations and all that are an abomination to God and idolatry. I've heard that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Let me show you where they get their argument right here. Jeremiah chapter 10. And take you right to it. Jeremiah chapter 10. Here's where they get their argument. Jeremiah chapter 10. And look with me at verse number 1 through 5 here. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah's preaching there to the people who are in Jerusalem. Are you there in your Bible in the Old Testament book of Isaiah? Then Jeremiah. A long book, 52 chapters long, long chapters. Look at what he said in verse number 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. Watch it. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. Oh my. Some of you folks have gone to cut your own tree places this year. You took an axe or a hacksaw and you went to cut your own place. One cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. Uh-oh. Got any silver or gold on your tree at the house? They fastened it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born. Put it on top of your car and take it from the field to the house. Huh? Because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. You say, oh, there it is right there. The heathen go out into the forest. They cut a tree down and bring it home. Put some tinsel and lights and gold and silver on it. And they worship it. And that's what you got when you got a Christmas tree. Friend, that's not talking about a Christmas tree in honor of Jesus Christ. That's talking about an idol. That they cut a big trunk of a tree down out in the forest. They brought it back in. They skinned all the bark off of it. They carved it. And they put it up as a permanent object of worship. They bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and prayed to it. If you've got that going on in your home, you're not celebrating Christmas properly. I haven't heard any reports about anybody bowing down to their tree. Huh? That's silliness. Look at verse number 14. This is what makes it clear right here. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. This is talking about graven images where they carve eyes and ears and mouths into the woodstock. And those ears can't hear.
And those eyes can't see. And those mouths can't speak. And they pray to them and worship them like they're some god. I don't pray to my Christmas tree. I just enjoy it. It warms my heart. It makes me think of what the season is all about and how special and precious it is. The truth of the matter is, if you really do your homework, you'll find out that the Christmas tree has a distinctive Christian origin. Way back in the 8th century, a missionary from England by the name of Boniface went to the place that we would know today as Germany. You know why he went there? He went there to preach the message of Jesus Christ. He went there to take those people the gospel. And when he got there, they were a very idolatrous and heathen people. And there would be German people now or that area of the world back then. They worshipped oak trees. Oak trees. Now, Boniface told them in his messages that God was like the evergreen, always alive. The oak tree has the saplings at the bottom and the leaves die and they blow off. But the evergreen tree is evergreen. It's evergreen, ever living. And he said, God is like the evergreen tree. These people began to get converted to Christ. And the evergreen tree became a symbol of the eternal one, God, in whom they put their trust. And they began to use it as for decorations at the time when they would celebrate Christ's birth. And the story goes on to say that because Christ was a gift of God's love, they in turn decided they would give gifts in love to each other to celebrate God's great gift to us. Now look, if you don't want to believe that, if it's a problem with you, don't have a tree. But don't be dogmatic about it. Don't be dogmatic about it. And if you got a tree, you're not worshiping that thing. That tree ought to bring to your mind and heart all that this season is about right here. It's about Jesus. I've heard all the excuses. Well, there's too much revelry and drunkenness and commercialization. It's all about money, excessive greed and spending. And I'll tell you something. If you're not a little bit grieved by what you see at this time of the year, it grieves me. I go get some things, folks, but boy, it grieves me. It would be interesting to know how many retail stores are driven. The retail economy of this country has to be driven in large part by Christmas. I know for a fact that some people say, you know, some stores make all their profit from the day after Thanksgiving till December 25th. That's what they count on for their profit. Yeah, you know what? There's probably too much revelry. There's probably too much greed and excessive spending. But now, wait a minute. Man has distorted and abused many holy and wonderful matters. How about Sunday? Sunday is abused and distorted, don't you think? So should we abandon coming to church on Sunday because man has distorted and abused Sunday? No. How about baptism? That been abused? Yeah, some folks now say that in order to go to heaven, you've got to be saved and baptized, and your sins aren't washed away until you get in the baptistry. Well, because that person's abusing, should we not baptize? Huh? How about Lord's Supper? That's abused. And they believe and teach that the wafer becomes the body of Christ, and the juice becomes His blood. And that by receiving that wafer, your sins are forgiven and you have received Christ and now you're saved. That's an abuse of the Lord's Supper. Should we stop having it because other people are abusing it? No. If ever there's a time when the world needs to see Christian people observing these things rightly, it's now. And what a great testimony for lost loved ones and relatives and neighbors and co-workers and friends to see God's people enjoying the Christmas season, having Christmas joy, but having it rightly. Having it rightly. Having it rightly. You say, how do I do that? You honor the Lord. You honor the Lord. How do I do that, Pastor? Number one, celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Christmas. You say, what do you mean by that? Don't celebrate Xmas. And don't celebrate Happy Holidays. And when the corporate controlled people who are forced by some policy that has no teeth to it in our judicial system, when they wish you happy holidays after you make a purchase, smile and say, Merry Christmas. Don't be intimidated, folks. The ACLU has done a good job of telling a lie loud enough and long enough to convince people that, boy, we can't, because of our laws, we can't sell it, we can't include Christ in Christmas. That's a bunch of junk. It's not true. Not true at all. I talked about that on the radio broadcast this morning. Celebrate Christmas. Don't you let people take Christ out of Christmas for you. And those signs, we still got a couple of those yard signs up. I've seen those signs in people's yards as I've been out and about in town this week, out visiting yesterday. I saw two or three signs in people's yards. That was a blessing to me. Keep Christ in Christmas. Still got a couple of them left back there if you want them. Take them and use them. Don't let the world take Christ out of Christmas. Celebrate Christmas, even if you don't have a tree. Enter into the spirit of keeping Jesus in this season. It's all about Him, is it not? Celebrate Christmas. Number two, hang on now. Don't lose me here. Don't spend yourself into debt. But my kids need... Wait, listen. You'll do your kids a greater disservice to put Christmas on a plastic card that you can't pay for and then take 3 years to pay for it. And some of you kids, look at it. Mom and Dad got a very limited income. And you come to church and you hear kids talk about, man, I got this and 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 I got this. And maybe you only got a couple of presents. You'd be happy. You'd be satisfied. If you got a dad, look at me, kiddos. If you got a dad who's careful with his money and he budgets and he says we can spend this much for Christmas and he spends this much for Christmas and when it's all done, he pays it all off and he goes into January without Christmas debt hanging over his head, you've got a good dad. Amen. You all agree with that? Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think that honors the Lord. Say, I want to put myself into a situation to provide toys and things for my kids at Christmas, and then January I got to rob from God to pay the Christmas debt. This is not shouting ground, is it? But it's okay. We need to hear it. Sure. You say, all I got was a Bible. Yeah, it happened to J. Frank Norris one time, too. J. Frank Norris' daddy was a drunk. As a little boy, he watched his daddy get shot in the stomach. Town drunk, had a godly mother. Poor, poor, pitifully poor down in Texas. At the grade school, the teacher at the grade school put a little tree up and sent a note home to the parents saying, if you want to send a gift for your kids, we're going to celebrate Christmas and pass the gifts out on the last day of school before Christmas break. And said that a lot of those kids had two and three packages under their tree. And J. Frank had one little bitty package underneath there from his mother. And when he opened it, it was a Bible. And those kids began to tease him. Is that all you got, Frank? All you got was a little Bible? That's all you got for Christmas? The Bible? J. Frank Norris took that Bible and others like it and built a church to over 5,000 in Fort Worth, Texas when he became a man. And then while he was pastoring that church, came up here to Detroit, Michigan and started another church running 5,000, pastoring two churches, one in Michigan and one in Texas at the same time without buses, running over 10,000 in attendance, scores and dozens and hundreds of thousands of people saved and baptized and brought into the kingdom of God with that Bible. Huh? Honor the Lord. Don't spend yourself into debt at Christmas time, friend. Christmas season is no excuse to go out and blow it financially and take 12 months to pay for it. Amen. Sure. A little quiet, but that's true. Number three, be thankful for what time you have with your family. Isn't that great? Boy, there's nothing like it. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Those of you my age and a little bit younger, especially those of you who are older than me, boy, when those kids grow up and they marry and they go, you know, and then you got to share them at holiday time. I don't like this sharing stuff. And then they go to college. Eric, you're working every day, aren't you? Just to come home on weekends. I know Marty's working every day. Didn't see Marty. Is he going to get to come maybe next weekend? That's home. You know, I did that in Bible college. I went home for Christmas maybe for 3 days. That's all I could do. You know what we do? We spend all our time complaining. Then the family gets together. And boy, if we only had more time. I wish we had more time. I would have 2 days. We're crazy. You know what my mother said a long time ago? She said, Terry, listen, my mom and dad don't have anybody in Atlanta. None of the kids. Tim's 9 hours south in Apopka, Florida. Tom's 10 hours north in Columbus, Ohio. And we're here 12 hours in Bourbonnais, Illinois. A lot of holidays there long. 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day. What are y'all doing? Oh, we're Joyce's mom and dad came out. That's not easy. Parents. Huh? You know what my mother said years ago? She said, Terry, I am going by the grace of God. I am not going to spend the time I have complaining about what I don't have. I'm going to take whatever days God gives us together and enjoy them immensely. There's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? Amen. And can I throw a little, this is just a little pastoral talk this morning. This ain't much preaching, but that's okay. When you get together at Christmas time, that's not the time to sort out all the theological disagreements. Amen? Not the time to argue and fuss. Man, we got a diverse family. I went to Hal Anderson. Tim went to Bob Jones. And Tom went to an evangelical school. In case you don't know, those are all three quite different. We get together. You know, we have the time of our lives. We're not going to get together for 2 or 3 days, fuss and fight and fume and argue over matters, theological matters. It's family. Now, I don't mean alcohol. Are you with me this morning, church? It's crazy. Enjoy your time together. Act so smart. I told the college students, I preached. You talk about cruel and unusual punishment. They put me up Thursday as the last thing before the Christmas break. Huh? And you guys that just came out of school, that last chapel service, your mind ain't on chapel. Your mind ain't on the Bible. Your mind is on getting home. They had their suitcases in the lobby. And I got to preach chapel? I said, you guys are nuts. So I took a bunch of bus promotion and we had, gave everybody a number and we asked a bunch of questions and had a blast and had fun and everything. Having a lot of fun. And then I gave them just 3 or 4 practical things. I said, go argue with your parents. Some of you college students, don't come home and act like you're theologically educated now that you've been to college. You can help your poor, unenlightened mom and dad understand things better. I love the story about that old guy that went to college, had a farmer dad, never went to high school. Farmer mother, uneducated, and they saved and scrimped all their money together, finally sent him to college, and he studied math and all those things, and he came home for Christmas, and his mama made him his favorite meal, roast duck. Boy, I looked out there, that young man did, 2 ducks sitting out there on the platter. He rubbed his hands together, and he said, man, I can't wait to dig into those 3 ducks. The dad said, son, There's two ducks on that platter. He said, oh, now, Dad, I've been to college. I've had the new math. I know there's three ducks out there. Dad said, son, I killed those things, dressed them myself for your mother who cooked them. There's two ducks on that plate. He said, now, Dad, you're uneducated. There's three ducks out there. Trust me. And Dad said, okay. He said, let's pray. He thanked the Lord for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. He took his fork, stabbed one duck and put it on his wife's plate, stabbed the other duck, put it on his plate and said, now, son, you help yourself to that third duck. Amen. That is a classic. Hey, can I tell you, I'm speaking from the voice of experience this morning. It's not pleasant experience. Can I tell you that my parents, after I got saved, I was zealous. And I tried to inform them in all the areas where they were not. That was capital S, capital T, oopid. That was stupid. Amen? You get together with your family. You avoid all that stuff. Have family time, man. Number four, how do you honor the Lord? Read the Christmas story. Before you tear into the presents on Christmas Day, every family in this church, maybe you open your presents on Christmas Eve, maybe you open on Christmas Day. Whenever you open your presents, Dad, and if Dad's not there, Mom, wherever there's children, you sit down, you take a Bible, and you open to Luke 2, and you read the Christmas story. And you say, you know what, boys and girls, the truth of the matter is, if we didn't have anything under this tree, it's still a great time because God sent His Son Jesus into this world. And then pray and thank God for a job and thank God for money to buy presents. How about thanking God for love? Huh? And then say, okay, now let's open the gifts. And number five, express love to each other. I love you, Dad. Oh, that can be said by a teenage boy without bricks coming off walls. Love you, Dad. That can be said by express your love to each other. Huh? Can I say a word to you college students who have younger brothers and sisters? You don't understand, maybe, how much it means to have you home. The little kids, they look up at you. Huh? Take some time for them. Don't spend all your time at Christmas break running around with friends. Stick close to Mom and Dad. Stick close to home. Amen? You celebrating Christmas? You're not celebrating Christmas? Whatever you choose, honor the Lord. Honor Him. Honor Him. You see, the most important thing is not whether or not you or I celebrate Christmas, but here it is right here. Does Christ live in your heart? Does He live right here? You see, He lived in Bethlehem. He lived in Egypt. He lived in Nazareth. He lived in Judea. He lived in Israel. He lived in Samaria. Now He lives in heaven. But the most important thing is, does He live in your heart? Right here? Has there ever been a time when you personally trusted Christ as your Savior? That's where He needs to live, right here. He came to this earth for that purpose. I hope you have Christmas joy. Some of you are leaving out of town this week. You won't be with us next Sunday. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. To me, it's the greatest time of the year. But I want to do it right. While the world goes overboard and all kind of nonsense, I want to keep my focus on Christ. Amen. Have Christmas joy. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for listening.
Let me ask a couple questions as we close this morning. Who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. Christ lives in my heart. By faith, I have been saved, born again, received Him as my Savior. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's your testimony this morning? Keep it up just for a minute. Please be honest with yourself and with God. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here, front to back, side to side, member or visitor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know that Christ lives in my heart. I'm not certain. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not sure that Christ lives in my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody here like that today? All right. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, never baptized in deep water since you've been saved. You ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you came to follow the Lord this morning in baptism, or maybe you know you need to. Say, Pastor, I've never been baptized since I've been saved, and I need to follow the Lord. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? God bless you. If you came to be baptized this morning, come right now. Great. Amen. And we'll have you get ready to get baptized here. Scott and Linda ready to assist you. That's good. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We have one more coming down the aisle. Wonderful. One of our teenagers. Great. Now, Christian, let me ask you this. By the way, if you've been saved and baptized and you've been attending church here, you've spoken to myself or Brother Caleb or somebody about membership, and you know you need to join, this is where God wants you to be. We invite you to come and join this morning as the Lord leads. Now, Christian, are you celebrating Christmas rightly? Huh? He that regardeth the day to the Lord, he doth regard it. Oh, have a wonderful Christmas. Keep Christ in your Christmas. Make sure you do it right. Don't be dogmatic. You cross paths with a good saved person who says, I just feel like it's not the proper thing to do. Don't argue. Just say, God bless you. Amen. Those of you that maybe not celebrate Christmas, you look at those of us who do and you tell us, God bless you. Don't argue with us. I wonder if something was said today that touched your heart and you say, Pastor, it was not really a doctrinal such message this morning, kind of a practical message. But there's something you said that spoke to my heart this morning. The Spirit of God took it and really pricked my heart with it. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over the room this morning? Maybe it's about that thing of getting together with your relatives and fussing and fighting. You don't need to do that. God bless you. Take your hands down. Speak to the Lord about it at the invitation time. He'll be well pleased with that, I'm sure. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word this morning. And I know this was more of a pastoral, practical message, but Lord, it sure keep a lot of controversy out of a church. If we just, Lord, whatever we choose to do that's incidental, do it unto you. May those of us who are celebrating Christmas this year have true Christmas joy. May we celebrate this holiday rightly. Jesus, thank you for being born. Thank you for coming to this old earth by way of an empty manger and leaving it by way of an empty tomb. Thank you for your death, your burial, your resurrection, sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, God, for your love, the gift of Christ. Speak to us this morning. May we all celebrate it rightly. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you want to come? Take a few moments at the altar this morning. You be sure to do that. You raised your hand. You want to spend some time in prayer here. The altar is open for you. Come down. Prepare to baptize. Would you come? The last verse of the invitation song.